Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to the flagship here on this, the Talk of Champions Podcast Network. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter, and he is Chase Parham at Rivals Chase. He writes for RebelGrove.com.
At Chase Parham, Ben. At Chase Parham. We've had a Twitter name change. It's all good.
Congratulations. When did that happen?
A while ago, and it's that deal where it was nothing to do with Rivals, but it was a situation where, why am I not using my damn name? Like, it made no sense. Like, the more odd thing was changing it from that back when I was Chase Parham to Rivals Chase to then. Look, maybe I was conjuring a little spirit, Ben. You know, when Jeff and Chuck hired me back in 07, it was Spirit Chase for a year and a half. That was the message board name, just like you, you maybe to this day you've kept. I don't know if you changed it or not, but maybe it was harking back on the old days a little bit.
I'm not changing. I changed my Instagram handle to I am Spirit Ben just to say screw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't care.
You're fully invested.
I mean, that's what people say to me when they see me. They never went, "Hey, Rivals Chase." They went, but that you've seen it. You saw him at the Rebel Club, Spirit Ben, and I think it's hilarious. But also,
time is getting away from us, bud. You know that last week was 15 years that I've been with Rivals, not even like in the business, 15 years with Rivals last week.
Oh, not since the Spirit. You just quite literally been doing, oh, wow.
Exactly the job I've been doing since May of 2009. I started 2 weeks before Evan Button threw the ball into the dirt.
Oh, I started in 2008, before the 2008 Egg Bowl. Because I came back LSU week when Jevin and them went down there and beat the crap out of them. And then come back next week, and that's when they just...
Because you needed me to leave. You got all pissed off the previous summer because I took the job at the Eagle for like a day and a half. And then I turned it down and went back, and you had nowhere to go. You were stuck with the Sun Belt Conference.
I don't begrudge you of it now. I'm thankful for it now. But at the time, yeah, because I had to move all my stuff, and I had to leave Oxford, and... You were supposed to open up a spot. You know,
there is an inherent amount of pressure when you're trying to make a life change. You're trying to decide what's the best thing for you. And while I'm doing that, I've got a Ben Garrett in my ear going, "You have to go. You have to go. You have to go because I need a job." So I'm getting pressure in this side from Ben because I had to leave for him to get back to Oxford at that point,
which is just so stupid because and selfish. So I'm sorry. So all these years later, 15 years at Rivals, 20, I've been doing this longer than I've done anything.
We're blessed. We're not digging ditches. We're doing just fine. We're both doing well. In 15 years, I've applied for one job and I've turned down one job. That's it. So, I mean, you know, it's all good.
I haven't applied for a single other job.
And that was in 2011. So, I mean, that was still.
But yeah, I didn't mean that like I'm a better company man than Chase. That's not.
Yeah.
I could see how that could come across though. That wasn't the intent.
He's trying to get his ass out, and I'm just hanging out. And I'm good. Yeah.
I was just showing y'all, if you'd just given me the Eagle job first, Eagle,
you would have taken that job too.
Yeah, I would. It was between me and our boy Patrick Oakes. You know,
was it really? I remember that. Okay,
John Davis, my buddy, our old buddy John Davis, and I'll never forget. I didn't even get mad. He's like, "Ben, John Davis, the sweetheart that he is. Ben, he's got layout experience. He was the sports editor of the."
I love you. JD hired the right guy because you would not have wanted to come in the morning and lay that bad boy out and go cover Water Valley school board meetings and the whole.
It was absolutely the right call. I mean, absolutely the right call. And but at the time, you unfortunately were on the receiving end of, I don't want to go to New Orleans. Chase. All right. Thanks for doing this. I know for some it's weird because we write for what used to be called competing sites. Now I just call them different communities. And he's Rebel Grove. I'm the Ole Miss Spirit. OleMissSpirit.com. Affiliate of On Three. And Mike Bianco is returning in 2025. As first reported. That's why he's here, by Chase Borum. So that's done. You know, I'm fine. I'm fine with not covering a coaching search. I'm fine with that. Even though you and I both have talked about this ad nauseum for like a decade about, like, well, you know, because this isn't the first time we've covered it. I didn't even cover this because for me, it was just like I'd heard early in the week, ain't nothing happening. I didn't know though. And then Chase comes out and says, yes, ain't nothing happening. And here they are. So Mike Bianco is returning. What do you think? I don't even care about the reporting aspect of it anymore. Chase, what do you think?
You know, what's funny about it is that I've covered Mike so long that, and I'm not complaining. I get how it happens. Like, I'm not even like taking a shot at anybody or anything, but I've been covering him for, next year will be 20 years that I've been covering Mike. And yesterday when I reported that he was coming back and I was on the message board, just to answer a couple questions, and I call him Five for shorthand, and it bothers people. It drives them insane when I do it. And I do it now just out of spite because I find it funny when people get frustrated at it. But somebody was like, hey, I know you're excited. Your boy's back. And it's like, okay, you don't get what this is like, because for me as a reporter or a scoops person or trying to compete, Cliff Godwin would be far better for me than Mike Bianco. Like, it's not close.
That's your guy.
So Mike and I are good. I mean, we're fine. We're professional. But Mike, I mean, you've covered Mike a long time. He's not a guy that's going to go out and give you a bunch of stuff that's going to help you in any way. Like, he's professional. That's what he is. Like, I think Mike gets a bad rap sometimes for being, like, having some huge ego. I don't necessarily – I think Mike is set in his ways. I don't think he has an ego. There's a difference. Every college coach has an ego. I'm not saying he's egoless.
I was like,
but compared to anyone else we cover, yeah. Do what?
I was like, isn't that a branch on the tree of ego?
Sure. Yeah. But my point is, it's not like he's incredibly hard to get along with or deal with. I've had other coaches that are much more difficult to deal with. What you see is a set in your ways. And you asked me what I think. I think this is the part of it that's so interesting. Because, look, you and I don't want to sit here and have a money podcast for an hour. But the fact of the matter is that finances played a large role in Mike Bianco returning to Ole Miss in two different ways. He has a hellaciously large buyout. There were extra taxes and things put on top of that, and it was going to cost $7.7 million to get rid of him. His buyout was going to be $5.2 over 4 years, but a quarter of that would be due in the first year. There's going to be an excise tax put on his buyout that was over $1 million. That was going to be due immediately in the first year. There was all these other stuff. The assistants had to have a year bought out, Laugh and Clem. It was really freaking expensive. So it's, are you willing to pay that? If you wanted to hire Eric Backage, the fan base wanted Eric Backage. His buyout was $1.74 million. Okay, add that to it.
Crazy.
Then you got to pay his salary. So it's a $10 million change, with the majority of that being in the first 365 days and then some of it after that. So all those things, in addition to the house case that we don't know what's about to come, I was told probably between $19 and $21 million is what SEC schools are about to have to pay to players starting as early as August 2025. That's a huge line item budget that simply makes it untenable to make a change right now, regardless of what you think is going on the field or not on the field. So all that being the case, you know, I keep using the term all week. It's one checkbook. You're not giving up on baseball because you decide that $7.7 million is too much to spend to make a baseball coach not coach. You don't want to harm the basketball program, the football program, all the other stuff too. It's not like each sport has a different budget with a different checkbook. Mm-hmm. It's one checkbook. And I think that's relevant to this. But Mike Bianco is potentially doing the one thing that has me somewhat interested. And I don't even mean in wins and losses. I mean in management and old dogs and new tricks. And if this is possible, because the other item that didn't get lost, but because we don't know all the details for multiple reasons, it wasn't necessarily the lead. is that there's going to be a staff reorganization with this moving forward for 2025. And again, I do not know exactly what's going to happen, but it doesn't take a large brain to realize the one thing that makes sense in this instance. So I'm going to speak hypothetically, but we're just going to talk about what I expect to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that is that Mike Bianco is almost certainly going to hire a pitching coach. That is what is where this thing is going. The way to do that administratively, I assume, again, assume, I do not know, is Chris Cleary moved to an off-field role or something along those lines and have to fill that in. Because Clem's not leaving, at least he's not getting fired. If he chooses to go somewhere else, he's more your guy than mine. But I don't think that, I mean, he would be choosing to go. He's not getting run out. And they're not getting rid of Lafferty. So that is where that would situate. At that point, you have an opening for an on-field assistant. Pitching coach is what makes sense. And from what I was told yesterday, if that's the route this thing goes, Mike's willing to essentially turn over the entire operation from pitching coach standpoint. Calling pitches, the whole deal, everything. Now, Jimbo Fisher said that at one point too, and that didn't come to fruition.
Yes.
I'm just telling you what has been said. But
I get why he said it, because like immediately I'm like, oh, that could work in the non-revenue generating sport that's costing almost an arm and a leg.
Huh. Point being, I don't even know if it's going to work. Because look, fixing this roster is a nightmare and an entire different conversation. Get into that, not get into that, whatever you want to talk about in a minute. But from this standpoint, it would be the most interesting thing that for me to cover going into next season is a guy who has been doing something not just 24 years, 27 years. He had 3 years at McNeese State.
Right.
For 27 years, he's been, look, the pitching coach. Okay, I know Carl has the title, but Mike's the pitching coach. Mike is the pitching guru. He handles pitching for the Ole Miss baseball program. Handing that over would be a sea change and a personality change and an old dog, new tricks in a way that, if I'm just being frank, I didn't think he was capable of. So if that is an accurate move, I'm at least stepping back and going, okay, let's see what this looks like for a little while. Let's see how things are different. And I will put a caveat here. I know a lot of names are being thrown out there, and this is just my personal opinion. I do not know who they're considering. You can't hire a pitching coach with any connection to your regime at all. It has to be somebody outside. Because, you're going to pick up some points by simply handing that level of control over. Some of the people that want to be for you but are kind of on the fence, you're going to get them over on your side. I get that Austin Knight's been a really successful pitching coach at East Carolina so far. You can't do that. You're going to lose that goodwill. It has to be somebody outside of the purview of the program to this point.
That was my next question. That's all, folks. It's been a fun podcast. Because the pitching coach part of that piece is fascinating. Chase, I'm trying to be professional, but like, and Chase is professional. He's much more professional than me. Look how he's dressed. When you say Mike not stuck in his ways, but not stubborn. I'm like, those are who he is. He's stubborn as all get out. Like, he just moved off of lineup and pitching rotation and bullpen stuff, and how he always like lefty righty matchups. That was the long running joke for a decade that you and I made together. I mean, like, there's so
he
much.
He came up on Skip Bertman's system, and I'm not even making fun of it. Literally, the book, the system.
It was a different time, a different way to evaluate and scout baseball. And he has tried to adapt. But this is the biggest, most seismic move he could make, because it's the thing that even the most casual of Ole Miss fan that was just watching the games and was frustrated by, why not a pitching coach? He's doing the thing. So, like, to get to this point, for me, it's a little bit different. I am intrigued just because, like, it is the one thing that everybody's wanted. But also, like, this is the last possible. Well, what was the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You got to throw out the lifeline. If he's hired a pitching coach, that's it. Like, this, the reason they didn't, that he's still the head coach at Ole Miss is because of the money. Now, we knew that. But like, him hiring a pitching coach, to me, I was like, oh, he understands the urgency here. He understands that, oh, he's at a place now where it's got to be a true show to not just Keith and his boss, like he said to y'all in Hoover, like, you got to ask my boss. No. He's showing the fans. He's like, hey, no, I'm trying. And you can say he doesn't have some consideration for it, but come on, man. Pitching coach.
I know. And it's that deal where I do think urgency is a good word. Look, everybody knows the score. They've got to be much better next year. They need a season similar to what Mississippi State is doing right now for this season, being in that competitive, at least host conversation. Like, I keep getting asked, hey, what does Mike have to do next year to keep his job? I hate some actual just number. Like, that doesn't make sense. There's too many things that can happen. But you need to be much more competitive in a lot of ways. And a pitching coach does give you that leash, as you're talking about, for a year. But, you know, it's Mike's problem. I know I'm rambling, but it's Mike's problem of it takes that second longer to get there. Because, look, they approved the third assistant thing last year, year and a half ago, whenever that was. Should have done it then. It's nothing against Chris Cleary. Chris Cleary is a super dude. It has zero to do with Chris Cleary. Yeah. But when you're given money to go out and get a third assistant to better your program, it's probably going to be a different role or a more experienced person than the person that you had on your staff as a volunteer coach. That was an opportunity, whether it be pitching coach or do something else to elevate your staff. And now, look, Mike is an incredibly loyal human being. I mean, beyond words. I mean, he worries about personality types and loyalty. Frankly, even with his own team, to the detriment. You know, there have been a lot of years where he's not as cutthroat with bringing a lot of players in the fall, knowing he has to cut that many before opening day, like some other programs do. And sometimes Ole Miss has been below 35 men healthy on a roster because of that. That he hasn't had enough dudes in the program because he doesn't want to put a kid in a bad spot in December or early January when that time comes. So, you know, it's funny. He's correcting a mistake while also elevating that the mistake happened 18 months ago at the same time. Like, that's Mike's tenure in a nutshell. Like, every time we get through something, he gives you all the ammunition in whatever side you want to give him. For 20 years, okay, consistent guy, wins all the time, always wins 13 games, always wins 14 games in the SEC. So can't win in the postseason. Can't win in the postseason. You got to fire him because he doesn't win in the postseason. Then he wins in the postseason, and you look and go, ah, well, they just got hot. That 22 team sucked anyway. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, you got both sides. You got it railing. And then you've got these last 2 years that have been atrocious. The worst team in the SEC. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this, Ben. I had somebody look it up for me. You know, the Pythagorean that estimates wins, losses. Ole Miss overachieved based off its stats this season. Their Pythagorean SEC win number was 8. They won three more. They were three games in a 30-game schedule lucky this season.
We wrote stories all offseason because, I mean, the roster was so bad that when Jackson Ross committed, I mean, this was impact, and you saw the impact. But as far as where they were to what they are, two wins better in the aggregate? Two! Think about it. They went, I mean, what was it? It was six. The year before the SEC.
Well, they actually underachieved the year before. They should have got 1-8 the year before, I think.
so they're essentially
the same.
Yeah, it's drawing circles, like Mac Miller says. It's drawing circles, man.
Well, I did a story a couple days ago, and I was looking at, because you bring up the portal, and I'm going wherever, so lead me wherever you want to go. But I wrote a story about the portal and how Ole Miss. Everybody says it's an NIL problem. It's a portal problem. It's not. It's a development problem. They don't have enough homegrown talent. The talent is not succeeding. And then when that happens, you need all this stuff in the portal, and it's got to work. And then when it doesn't work, you go, oh, God, you didn't evaluate the portal correctly. It's right. Like, no, you went and got 12 dudes that needed 10 to hit, and that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at this, in 2022, on that title team, Ole Miss's top 10 guys in plate appearances were high school signees. 10. That was it. I mean, it was all high school dudes. Think about it. Gonzalez, Chantier, McCants.
By this guy. He just knows exactly where I'm going. And you Bench, always
Elko, the whole dudes. This past year, 60% of the plate appearances were by first-year guys. 60%. 52% were by portal guys, with only Ethan Groff being not a first-year portal guy at that point. So you have no – I mean, my whole basis of my story was, frankly, we've all been unfair to Reagan Burford. He's a team captain because he has to be. He was the only third or fourth year guy on the freaking team. He was the old guy. Think about it. Mm-hmm. And you can't be a team captain if you don't play every day. What made Tim Elko and those guys good as captains and leaders was because you were accountable to them and they were on the field with you. it's not Reagan's fault. Reagan was put in a terrible position. The marketing department made a mistake doing that video in February and putting him out there as the face of it. All Poor those guy. Different things.
Poor guy.
You can't, you just don't compete the same way when your leaders are not on the field. And I think that's a huge key to this thing. And when you come into the program and there's no nucleus, there's no people to go, hey, look, this is Ole Miss baseball. This is how we do it. You're going to come in. You're going to do what we're doing. We're going to be there with you. Football. 2022, Lane Kiffin, they went downhill at the end because they didn't have that kind of leadership with the portal guys.
I agree.
This current year, and in 21, we think, hey, this thing's going to roll because you've got Jackson Darts. And back then you had Matt Corral and Sam Williams and those dudes to go, hey, we're the leaders. You're coming in. You're supplementing. And you make this thing go. Because you've got to have the homegrown talent. And then you got to supplement with a transfer portal. And when you supplement with a transfer portal, unlike football, I think football is easier to go get the mid-major that's going to hit because you've got so much data on size and speed and what you're trying to get and all those things that make complete sense. In baseball, it's a more skills game than a body game. You can't do the size-speed ratio in the same way from that standpoint. There's a reason why when you look at Ole Miss's portal gets and who hit, Andrew Fisher came from Duke, ACC school. You had a proof of concept. You had even Liam Dole, Coastal Carolina. I can make some connections there. Coastal Carolina won a national title in 2016. Mm-hmm. You've got Luke Hill from Arizona State, Pac-12 shortstop. I know what I'm getting for the most part. And Luke Hill hit in conference play. Like, he was a pretty damn good hitter there late in the year.
He was just
so
playing out
of position. Those dudes.
He was just playing out of position. Well, he's a second baseman at Ole Miss.
He is. And you need to make sure you keep him as a second baseman next year. That's exactly what you need for next year with Luke Hill. I'm not making fun of Treyson Hughes, but Treyson Hughes is the perfect example. He was an All-American coming into the year. He hit 25 home runs over 2 years at Mercer. He hit 2 home runs this season at Ole Miss. He simply was overmatched offensively in the SEC. And I told Rippy last night that Sonny DeShashera, the kid that went to Auburn from Samford, I believe, if I have that right, he ended up being SEC Player of the Year. He was the worst thing to happen to the conference from a portal standpoint because everybody went, hey, we're going to go get this mid-major. And if he hits there, as long as this thing kind of works, he's going to hit here too.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we're creating a vicious circle. And the perfect example of this is Banks Tolley. Banks Tolley was at Ole Miss for 2 seasons, couldn't get on the field. He had fewer than 5 starts. If he had a start in 2022, he redshirted on that 6-24 team to try to keep an extra year of eligibility to transfer out. So didn't even get any innings whatsoever on the 2023 team that went 6-24 in the SEC. He transfers to Appalachian State. He's got 25 home runs, and he's going to be an All-American this year. What's going to happen? And now, look, this is not making fun of Banks. If he got tons of opportunities at Ole Miss, maybe he would have hit. I don't know. I have no idea what that is. But point that I'm making is that Ole Miss and every other SEC school is going to go and sign a Banks Tolley and go, hey, he hit 25 at App State. He's going to come here and get 10. And it's like you had that exact same dude, and he didn't hit when he was in your program. So you sign high school kids, you develop high school kids, and then you figure out whatever. Ole Miss's problem right now from a roster standpoint is that their studs they signed in those classes haven't hit. It's Grayson Saunier, JT Quinn, yes. Judd Uttermark, Will Furness. And Furness has been better. I hate to even put Furness in the mode. What are you getting out of that? Out of your freshman? What does Ole Miss have in Braden Randall? I don't know yet. He was pretty bad defensively at shortstop. He's had some flashes where he can hit. You got to figure that out. Campbell Smithwick, good hitter. He's going to be an SEC elite hitter. Kid's going to hit. He's going to have good plate discipline. He's going to walk.
Oh, word.
He's going to hit.
He was that bad defensively?
I think it's mental, dude. I think he's got like the yips. I think we've got like a Chuck Knobloch situation going on, except a catcher version. Because even against Auburn, he was catching fine until somebody got on base. And then it's like there's something there. But no, I mean, I talked to a scout last week when I was trying to figure out some coaching stuff who said that the scouts are seeing him as a hitter at the next level, but nowhere near a catcher. And they kind of want Ole Miss or wherever his college destination is to go ahead and find his new position because he can hit. You just got to put it, you got to figure out on the field where he can go.
He needs to go to wherever's the least pressure, but that's the left field. Just put him in left field.
Well, I mean, I don't even know. I guess I need to find out. I don't have this answer. I'm glad I'm saying this out loud to you because I need to find it today. I don't know what his summer assignment is, but he needs to go to some league and catch for 200 innings to see if he can catch or not and then make a decision after that.
Because
low stress, go to the Cape or go to the Northwoods League and see what you can do.
Well, I think the most salient point you make with in regards to roster management, roster building, that the Banks Tolley stuff that's been used as a point of contention or a feather in the cap of the anti Mike people saying, "Well, see, look what Banks Tolley did." Mm-hmm. Baseball is a little bit of a different evaluation. I don't pretend to be an expert, so every opinion in that way, mine's just as valid as yours is, theirs is, whoever's. Sure. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, sure.
However, Banks Tolley wouldn't have made a difference on this team. Banks Tolley's not the reason why Ole Miss again sucked. The reason why Ole Miss has really, in my opinion, been terrible is because of there has been some misfortune with the pitching staff. Hunter getting hurt. Or you could say, well, Mike did have his pitching coach. Mike did, you know, Hunter got hurt, Gunner got hurt, Doug got hurt, Josh Malice.
Guys are just getting hurt. Like it's a lack of depth. I mean, I get agree. It and it's not ideal, but I grow really impatient with the idea of, well, if Hunter hadn't gotten hurt and Xavier hadn't gotten hurt and this had happened and this had happened, it's like, okay, but I can do that for anybody. And every school in the country's got shit going on. Everybody's got stuff.
I use that as a way to just complain one more time before we close the book on they had Doug and Gunner for 3 years. 3 years, Chase, together in the same rotation.
Well, 2020 got stolen from us.
I know, and they got – that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. This is not a negative for Mike. I'm saying – we have to acknowledge the shit luck of that. You know, Doug, the best rotation pair you've had in the history of Ole Miss, probably.
Look, Ben, I get almost pissed a little bit because just as a college baseball guy, I wanted to see that 2020 season play out because that rotation was so good.
So good.
With those two guys. But their offense had problems that hadn't come out yet. And I wanted to see.
Oh.
No, what
problems would they have? I want to know, like, it's over now. Statute of limitations. Like, what were the problems?
Ben, I love you to – no, I'm not talking to you. The Ben I'm about to mention. I love you to death. Let's go get lunch. Yeah. They had Kel Baker and Ben Van Cleave starting in that lineup. Yeah. It wasn't going to work full-time for 56 games.
Yeah.
Like, that just isn't where they were for that deal. And Hayden was a freshman. He wasn't going to hit yet. Like there were holes in that.
All right, he's out of minor league baseball now.
Is he really? I don't know.
I think he's like in some independent league, which is crazy because I remember when I was covering baseball on a day-to-day basis when he came in, you know, I mean, what he came in as, you know, like the rankings. He's just like Campbell Smithwick, you know what I mean? But
far better. Defensively was not his issue. I mean, Hayden caught the ball.
It's the flip.
Hayden's comp would be Cooper Johnson. Both didn't stick the way you thought they would stick.
But I use that not to knock Hayden, but to say, that actually makes a lot of sense. And that is a fair assessment of where things are with Mike.
Do you think – I'm going to pose one at you because I don't have an answer here. I really don't know. So we'll see if you know.
So he's going to throw it to his idiot friend over here.
I am.
Go for it.
Again, this is not an excuse because everybody else made it work. I want to know if Ole Miss did something different. Do you think it's any – strictly coincidence or there's any causation to the fact that Ole Miss's two high school classes that haven't panned out were during the COVID evaluation periods? No. They were the 2 years that COVID was going on.
I never want to hear one single coach ever again say that recruiting sites don't have some value to them. They're full of it, completely full of it, because they just started, you know, trying to sign off. Yeah, yes. I'm not going to get into that bigger discussion point. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, we don't even know who the good players are or were, like the evaluations of rosters.
Look, everyone wanted JT Quinn, Grayson Saunier, and those guys. Everybody. Literally everyone didn't miss.
No. Or like a Peyton Chatagnier, maybe he was under-evaluated because when you're just going by strictly raw physical tools, JT Quinn and Grayson Saunier look like they've been built in a lab for pitchers.
Yeah.
Peyton Chatagnier.
Now, look, you may have just provided the answer. They were built in a lab. So sometimes pitchability and demeanor don't come through. Because, look, Grayson Saunier is incredibly talented. I think it's up here. I think it's mental. And I don't mean he's a dumb kid. He's a smart kid. I mean the toughness sometimes, the mental makeup of keeping everything in front, focus, all those type of things that, look, we can do the whole fundamentals and stuff with pitching and college kids. They know how to hit for the most part. My point is, You're there to recruit, evaluate, and be a psychologist. Those are the top three things. Now, we can get down in the weeds with fixing some stuff, but for the most part, the mental psychology is more important than whatever you're trying to teach him mechanically.
This is Callie. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands, live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is, out there wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Hi, this is Kevin Kessinger, former Ole Miss baseball player, son of Ole Miss Hall of Famer Don Kessinger, and dad to Ole Miss All-American shortstop Gray Kessinger, and your local community banker with BNA Bank. BNA Bank has invested 125 years in our communities, and we know the needs of North Mississippi businesses better than anyone. As a commercial lender with BNA Bank, my priority is Oxford, and I'd love to help you and your business with any lending needs.
Visit www.bnabank.com to learn more. BNA Bank, local, invested, modern banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The car buying process can be a lot. I know, I've been there. You just want to get in and out with a new car and the best deal. Simple. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford keeps it simple. They're going to take care of you, get you in and out with your new vehicle with a great deal. Their inventory right now is priced to sell, and what separates Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from any and all competitors is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Contact them today at 662-234-8000. That's 662-234-8000. Stop by and see them in person at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford to find your next perfect car, truck, or Jeep. Alan Samuels. Let's be friends.
Pretty much every dog lover knows our sweet pups are absolutely a member of the family. I know my Rosie sure is. And you wouldn't feed your spouse or partner or your kids just any old thing. What they're putting in their bodies matters. And it's not any different for man's best friend. And that's where Superfood Complete from Badlands Ranch comes in. Actor Katherine Heigl came up with Superfood Complete as the best way to make sure your dog gets all the nutrients and superfoods vital to their health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason DeBus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. My Rosie recently started on her Badlands Superfood diet, and let me tell you, we're never going back. It's fast and easy to prepare and serve, but even more, it's delicious, apparently. I haven't tried it myself, of course, but she can't seem to get enough. We've already ordered more. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/TOC. That's BadlandsRanch.com/TOC. And order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/TOC today. You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry. Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
I think it's a lazy argument when you go, well, look what Banks Tolley's doing. Look what TJ McCants is doing. Man, TJ McCants went through some stuff here now. He went through some stuff here. Banks Tolley, again, contextualizing it, it's not a Mike Bianco issue or problem because Banks didn't get on the field, right? You don't think he'd have played a guy who hit 25 homers and hit his ass third or fourth, maddeningly bat him fourth if he knew he had that. That's not what it is.
What Mike does, I do think the one criticism is valid.
Compared to football and basketball. Basketball, I can go sign three guys for big money and maybe go ahead. And that might be all I need to turn myself into a second weekend team in the NCAA tournament. And that buys me three more years at the place I'm at currently if I want that. Football is the biggest money earner. So that's where all the money is. It's like, oh, shit. We didn't recruit that position hard enough. We need to go get a starting edge by Friday. You can do that because you've got the money. Baseball can go, oh, shit. we need a catcher by Friday. You know, they got to beg. And, but, so.
Go ahead, finish.
I'm done. I'm rambling because I want to hear what you're going to say about it. Because that's where I'm at. It's like the portal in baseball is not like you can do it. Go find a Trey Harris at Louisiana Tech. Because developmentally, physically, who they are as a player, they can grow into that. He was a quarterback in high school. He was throwing to Malik Nabers. He goes to Louisiana Tech where he didn't become a wide receiver until his senior year of high school. And then Trey, so like he's raw as hell. Of course, that guy now goes and becomes a Biletnikov caliber player. Of course, that player comes in once he's grown 2 more inches and he's played it for 2 more years into a capable receiver. Baseball players are what they are. Either it's going to transfer or it's not. You know, like, you know, if it's proof of concept, Luke Hill, Andrew Fisher, even Liam Dole at Coastal Carolina, they won a title. That's where you had me. It's like those transfers there. That's what, okay, now Mike's here. He's going to hire his pitching coach. Power five in baseball, that's the only way to go. You know what I mean? Because, you know, obviously that can be popcorn stats, like they say, popcorn muscles, if you will, with those, you know, lower-level guys.
No, because look, you know, the two things, I will say this. One of Mike's flaws is he gets too caught up in fall ball and what stats look at through fall, then going into the spring. I mean,
good and bad.
Yeah, good and bad. He allows you to have a good fall and break in. But then if you're not looking like it, sometimes takes a little while in the spring to get going. Dylan DeLucia is the prime example we always go to because he didn't have a great fall. He's only good with the lights on. He got bored in practice and in intra squads. And, you know, the JUCO coach called Lapp and was like, look, I don't care what he looks like. Throw him out there on the mound. It's going to work out. I'm just telling you. But it took a long time for Mike to trust that and not go, hey, but we put him out there in these simulated games and he wasn't getting outs and he was doing this and he wasn't focused. And
Mike's the baseball robot. He's the Mike the baseball robot.
So some of that stuff has been a negative. But then the other part of it, the portal, and what I find interesting, and where baseball is so different too, is you're dealing with the draft. And you're dealing with the draft from the standpoint of a kid can kind of hold – I'm going to be a little careful here. A kid can hold you hostage a little bit. Hey, I know I need to get better at this position. But if I do this, this highly touted kid that's coming to Ole Miss might sign instead because I over-recruited him into his spot to come in as a freshman and play. Mm-hmm. It's a dynamic that you don't have in other sports for the most part. It just doesn't exist like that. A high school freshman has nowhere to go but to a college to play football at that point. I mean, he can't go, I'm going to go to the NFL, sorry, like whatever. It doesn't work like that. So you've also got to manage things in those ways because, look, I'm not saying Campbell did that. I'm not saying Trent Lyons did that. I'm not saying Ole Miss had that problem at catcher. But Ole Miss's biggest issue this year was catching the baseball behind the plate from a defense and receiving standpoint. And of all the portal stuff they did, they didn't go get a defense-first older catcher. And they didn't do that because they trusted their evaluations on the catchers they had coming in on the roster when you'd have been much better off to take $100,000, $125,000 and go get you a freaking catcher to play defense this season. It probably would have, I mean, I'm probably being a little hyperbolic because look, I just said their Pythagorean number was 8 wins. They finished the year 13th in hitting, 13th in pitching, and 14th in defense inside the SEC.
13-13-14 team in the SEC. And you said it to start the show. Just got hot in that summer. That team
but
sucked.
Ben,
they did. But Kevin Graham was good, though.
So no, stop. Hold on. I'm going there in a second. But if they have a if their normal Ole Miss WAR average at catcher, meaning above average, they win 13 games and go to the SEC, the NCAA tournament. Signing a defense first catcher, they would have gotten 2 more games out of SEC play.
I mean, they were losing games because of... Because
it's what everybody misses, and you don't, but like everybody else, is when you make so many errors defensively, and you're that bad defensively, you're stressing your offense, you're stretching your pitchers. It's not just earned runs. It's the extra damn pitches you're throwing every game. You're adding 15, 20, 25 pitches to your starter because you didn't catch a ground ball and throw it to first base. Like, that's where this thing is going from that standpoint. So, you had to go defense first on your catcher, and you needed an older guy to have some continuity, to have a little experience, to sort of be a mentor a little bit and play. But they had Lyons coming in, who probably is out of position. Lyons is a hitter, but he's probably a different position defensively if you maximize him. And then you had Birch and Smithwick, and it just sort of was what it was. They trusted that Smithwick was going to play as a freshman like some other guys have over the course of the year, but only a couple. I mean, I think Dunhurst has been the only true freshman that just came in and for sure was going to catch from day one. Ben, I obviously have been inundated with that 22 team since it happened, and you have too.
You wrote a book about it.
I did. It's behind me. But it's not – that was not a bad baseball team. I think we got wrong on that. You know, we keep talking about how Mike getting fired because they were not going to make the tournament is a different argument than that was a bad baseball team. Like, those are not the same thing.
I agree.
Mike was going to get fired because of that.
You started the show talking about these things like he's always given ammunition to his critics for specific things. For me, that's mismanagement of personnel.
It's why when everybody goes, hey, it's been 3 bad seasons in a row. It's like, no, it hasn't. It's been 2. You don't get to count a national title season where you're number one in the country in March as a bad season. Because when you dissect, and I'm not spending much time on this, but when you dissect that year, here's what happened during that lull, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because they won in the non-league. They were fine.
Right.
Tennessee swept them. It was a bad weekend, but Tennessee beat the shit out of everybody.
Everybody.
Okay, fine. Like, it is what it is. Tennessee was the best team in the country. They just didn't win the national title.
Yeah, the criticism or, like, the vitriol you got for Ole Miss in that way, give that to Tennessee. They're the ones that really shit the bed that year. Anyway, continue.
And then Ole Miss has, as you said, a huge management problem because they can't find a rotation. I mean, here's 2 stats on that. Dylan DeLucia, they didn't even use starters against Alabama. Mike literally went to openers all 3 games. That is scrambling beyond scrambling at that point. They lose to South Carolina. Hunter Elliott did not throw a pitch the entire weekend. They played 27 innings, and he did not throw a pitch that weekend.
Conceptually and philosophically, I love openers.
But not like that.
Hell no. And Mike hates openers, and he went 3 in a row. Again, the desperation and the urgency. Desperate time.
So you look at this week. Okay. Here's their schedule that year off the top of my head. They beat Auburn 2 out of 3.
I don't shit out of Mike Bianco every time so that we not only get, you know, the rotation we want and the pitching coaches of assistance we want. I'm kidding. Sorry.
Hey, Ben, the two worst contract times in his career were 14 and 22, and he went to Omaha both damn times. I'm just saying.
He's right. Is a contract is next year's the contract year, Mike year.
I'm just saying. So point being, that 22 team, they beat Auburn 2 out of 3 to start league play. That was a team that was in Omaha. They finished like 5th in the country. They won 2 out of 3 there. They get hammered by Tennessee. They beat Kentucky the next weekend in Lexington. Kentucky wasn't this Kentucky, but they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that's when the crap started. They get swept by Alabama. It was a horrific weekend. It was awful. It was all kind of crap, whatever was going on there. They lose to Mississippi State. They played like crap that weekend, lost 2 out of 3. DeLucius saved them during this stretch. And then the South Carolina weekend was really, really, really bad. They had 3 horribly managed, really bad weekends. And then Arkansas beat them 2 out of 3, but Ole Miss played well. Ole Miss just lost 2 out of 3 in Fayetteville. That shit happens. Like, everybody loses up there a good bit. Like, Arkansas is really good. that's what turned them around. And then after that, they swept Missouri, got a little lucky on Friday night, but swept Missouri, swept LSU, played okay, lost 2 out of 3 to A&M. Again, a team that finished third in the country. A&M lost to Oklahoma in the national semifinal. And then they get hot, and we all know the story from there, and blah, 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 blah. But point is,
they were resilient rebels.
That was poor pitching management and a Kevin Graham injury. Kevin was out for a good bit of this stretch as well. That was poor pitching management and an injury for a four-week period. Otherwise, that 22 team was good. Like, you look through that lineup. I mean, I'm not going to out him, but somebody inside the program.
I always smile because I know some of the things you want to say. It makes me laugh.
And I just, it's why people think I'm nicer than I am, Ben, is that I don't out them publicly. Like, they tell me something and I might say it, but I'm never going to like say their name and say who they are. Because you can contend to that. I'm not as nice as my personal persona.
Sometimes. Hey, don't you talk about, hey, bully, you don't talk about my friend Chase Parham that way. How do you?
Somebody pointed out that on this team, and again, it's not rude. It's true. On the 22 team, how many players on this team would start in that lineup?
Andrew Fisher.
But where are you putting him and who are you replacing?
Left field.
Because you can't play him at third base. You have to DH him instead of Calvin Harris or Alderman. That's your only answer.
Man, and Calvin was so good in the College World Series.
That's all you got. That's what you have to do. I mean, hold on. I got the lineup.
I'm going through the lineup in my brain.
Yeah, hold on. We got time. We're just hanging out. I got nothing but time. Hold on. I think I have the lineup in my book, so hold on. Yeah, I do. Okay.
All right, here we go. Resilient Rebels. Right,
official batting order for the championship game, because it's a copy of Mike's lineup from the championship game. Bench at third base, Gonzo at short, Elko at first, Graham in left, Alderman the DH, Harris in right, Chatagnier at second, Dunhurst at catcher, McCants in center. Your only option is Fisher at DH or right field for Harris or Alderman, and you're not hitting Fisher. I mean, those are your two options.
Yeah, Calvin Harris, get ready to learn some center field, buddy.
Oh, you put him in center?
You'd sit TJ. Yeah, he played it in high school. They let him and TJ do a little tit for tat, you know?
And technically, I could make the argument for Luke instead of Peyton at second, but not on that team with the chemistry the way it was.
Well, I'm not a big, but I'm a big believer in playing matchups more than Mike. Mike likes playing his guys.
Peyton didn't make an error at second base after February the 25th that season.
Then he deserves to stay there at second base.
Yeah, you can't put a potentially worse defensive person right there during that.
I know it's kind of like hypocritical because I say the greatest ability is availability, like coaches say, like all those things, and all that is true. It's just like I wish Mike would be a little bit more forthcoming with. I don't like the lefty-righty matchup. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just like, hey, this guy's got reverse splits, and, you know, you need pop in the line. Let's bat him instead of bat him eight and start him against both. Bat him third against that particular matchup. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about who – that's my three-hole hitter. So, why? You know? Mm-hmm. I've never understood that. It's like, this is my guy for that. If you got tools that can help you. Okay, so last thing is next year, in your opinion, I mean, if he doesn't win, is he gone at the end of next year? If it's the same thing? Because about the money, if he was going to be gone, and it's the money, which is more than – you know what? I think that's what needs to be understood here. But if Ole Miss is making a decision on a non-revenue-generating sport, you as an Ole Miss emotional fan has no stake in the game, no skin in the game, in that way – other than the rooting interest, I get it. The guy who's balancing the budget going, you know what, this is what the hard decision, this is what you pay in the millions for, you know? Yeah, a lot of people aren't happy about that potentially. I get it from a bottom line standpoint, and that is Keith's motivation.
Now, yeah, a couple things here.
Okay.
One, you're not punting on baseball or not caring about baseball because you don't fire Mike Bianco this season. You're showing you care about baseball because you're paying the man $1.625 million with a $5 million buyout. That means you give a crap about that sport. That means, now, look,
if it ever does come down, buddy, the guys that would want that money, the coaches.
My hot board wasn't going to be a bunch of children of the poor here, dude. So, like, it was going to be some dudes. And now here's the thing connected to that, because you're probably going to have this question. Ole Miss is going to kill this baseball expansion. It's going to be put on the back burner. It's not going to happen. The 25,475 premium seats, Champions Plaza, new exit, all that stuff. It's not going to happen. But it wasn't going to happen even if Ole Miss was 65-0 and won the national title. It's not happening because of this. It's not happening because they don't know what this house settlement's going to look like. And capital projects overall are about to be diminished because that's just not where the money is going to go with the current setup in the administration. So that's going to happen. But yeah, look, what Keith is doing, and you can be the cynic, or you can use this and say he's kicking the can down the road. But in a year, you've got much more knowledge on how much you got to pay in this house thing. All this court stuff is going to be worked out for the most part in 12 months. And the money does come down. So Mike's buyout right now is $5.2 million if you fired him today. If you fire him this time next year, his buyout's $3.9 million payable over 3 years. So $1.3 million. What you would do is you would just continue to pay Mike his salary on the books, but only 80% of it instead of 100% of it. That's the way it's calculated. That's the way that would work. Your assistant coaches don't have buyouts.
Have you done that exact math for not? I'm not trying to knock him, but like for Matt's contract, Matt Luke's contract. Have you done the math for that?
Like, don't mentally. Yeah, don't mentally do that. No, don't do that. Carl and Clem are not being extended, so they will be no buyout at the end of next season. If you were to make a change, they will not be affected. And then this is a little bit of rumor stuff, but I was even told yesterday that with whatever is coming in from an assistant coach standpoint, that second year would not count against buyouts and baseball books. That if you had to give the new coach a multi-year deal to get him,
what
they would pay it. Yeah, they would pay it some other way with some other funds where it didn't come out of that thing to try to lessen the buyout. So
this contract language for everything from players to coaches to
– oh, dude.
It's so much easier. It used to just be so much easier. My God.
So, I mean, quick math, and look, I took college algebra 3 times, so it's by far my least favorite subject. But –
same.
I begged for a grade just to move on, like begged. I'm like, look, I promise to never build a rocket ship. If you'll just let me get through here – I swear to God, I'll use a calculator.
No one's going to come lock you up just because you let Chase Parham move on. You know what I mean? Like, our whole public school system is built on just process them through, move them along. Yeah. That's all it is. So, like, what's the lowest grade you ever made in math in college? Because mine was low. So, I'm just terribly curious. You tried, or maybe you didn't try. I don't care. Just what's the lowest grade?
I ended up with a low C in college
algebra. No. On a test. It doesn't matter.
Okay. You want to know the truth? Here's the story. So this is at ICC because, you know, I went to ICC first, transferred to Ole Miss. And Linda Partlow, God rest her soul, she was the women's tennis coach, and she taught college algebra. And I was terrible in high school in algebra. I come in. She gives me the first test. I studied, Ben. I looked at it. I tried.
Yeah.
Zero.
No.
Zero.
No.
The first 3 tests I took in college algebra at ICC, this is a true story, 0-17-49.
I've told this story about how I made a 19 in business calc and was like, that was when I went, I am not a math person. I'm not somebody that's going to balance books, checkbooks, whatever the hell. I am not that. Chase, that's a different level.
0-17-49. I went and got tutoring every day. Busted my ass. Tutoring every day. I went to her and I'm like, look, I'm transferring to Ole Miss. I'm majoring in journalism. I swear to God, I will not use math ever. Help me.
Poor little Chase.
And I turned it around. I did like tutoring. I was proud. Like, this might be one of my best ever accomplishments. I made like an 89, a 94, and like an 88 on the next 3 tests. And I got out of there with like a 71 and a C.
That's fire. What a great ending. Like, that's a Disney ending. Like, our cynical asses in 2024 would go, oh, that ended too nicely. You know?
Ben, I'm 6 hours away from a political science degree, and I didn't finish it because I would have had to take a statistics class. And I went,
never going to be a political.
Yeah, never going to be a political science graduate.
I don't need it because I switched my major from journalism to political science for a little while. So I mean, I was in journalism mostly, and that's what I did. But yeah, I'm two classes away from a poli sci degree, and I was like, no, I'm good.
Are you bringing this up because you know we've been friends for longer than we've not been friends at this point? All right, and I have long said that Chase would make an amazing mayor of Oxford. Amazing.
So you think like next time?
Oh, did you decide to run? I was like, hold on. You know, whenever we've done a crossover podcast, it's always been Chase's idea. He's just like, "Hey, you want to do it?" Because like I'm always, "Yeah, Chase, sure." I just said, "Hey, you want a pod? Sure." And he hops on very easy, very seamless. Is this because you came?
I even answered your text within like 30 minutes.
Like nothing. I was like, "What is going on? Are you soft launching your mayoral campaign?"
I am not soft launching, but yeah. Hey, do you want involved? Like I'd decide, hey, I'm going to run for alderman next year. We're going to kind of get this started, start kind of moving up. Or do you think we have to go straight to mayor? Like, do we have to?
You got to go mayor. Here, let me ask you this. I've been trying to draft my buddy Witt. You know Witt. I've been trying to draft Witt to run for mayor of New Albany. And he's like,
really?
Yeah. He's like, I'm not doing it. You know, no, dude, stop. He's like, you run then, you idiot. You know what? If I ran for mayor of New Albany and then somehow I had like the Pete Buttigieg track that got me into a cabinet, but I didn't have to settle for transportation secretary. No, I end up in what's the VP's house? What's the VP's house? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
I have, you know, it was immediately my head of like, what was Rob Lowe and what's his face? Toby and
chief of staff kind of stuff.
Chase, am I pointing right? No, there he is. He's writing all the speeches. He's doing all the clad handing. He's going to talk to all the little ladies because when they see him,
oh, Chase, I read your book. It was so good.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Anyway, that's me. I'm done.
I did catch pure hell from you in Omaha as I walking down the sidewalks and like the 40s and 50s set stopping by to hang crazy. Out and talk and have the conversations.
Right. Like when I say crazy, my man is a celebrity with that group.
How shocked would you have been? We did that cross. Speaking of crossovers, we did the one on the way home from Omaha that night or that morning. How shocked would you have been if I said Ole Miss wins 17 of their next 60 SEC games? It'd have been like as shocked as you could be, right?
Well, I'm trying to be like, no, I would have.
Because we had no previous understanding that he wouldn't be at least moderately consistent.
That was what I was wanting to talk about earlier. You brought that up. See, there's a reason why we're still dragging this on, and this is the reason why. Because you talked about that for the longest. It was like, yeah, he hasn't won the title, but he always does this. They have not hosted a super regional since 2009.
They haven't. And, you know, look.
And I'm not blaming Mike for that, but he is the coach. Now, is he singularly responsible for Ole Miss having not hosted a super regional since 2000? Absolutely not, of course. That's ludicrous. However, that goes on the resume, just like a 0 and a 17 and a 40 in college algebra goes on the resume.
And our overall theme of this is you get whatever argument you want with Mike Bianco. Here's the example of that. Yes, Ole Miss has not hosted a super regional since Virginia 2009. 100% true. It's whatever. But in 24 years, Mike Bianco has only been a national seed twice. And one of those, they didn't even get to a super regional because it was Tennessee Tech in 2018.
Thank
so,
talent.
Even when they have hosted a super regional, they've gotten help from somebody else. 2006, Miami came to Oxford only because Miami won the Nebraska regional in Lincoln. If Nebraska and Jabba Chamberlain win, Ole Miss goes to Nebraska in 2006 and plays Nebraska in the Super Regional. In 2009, Virginia was the 2 seed at UC Irvine and won the regional at UC Irvine, where Steven Strasburg and San Diego State were the 3 seed. So if that doesn't happen, then Ole Miss is in Irvine in 2009. If it went completely scratch, Ole Miss would have hosted one Super Regional in Mike Bianco's entire career, and that had been 2005 against Texas. Because, again, in 2018, Tennessee Tech happened. Ole Miss's unluckiness, if you will, in quotes, is that in 14, 19, 21, and 22, the number one seed just didn't lose their regional on the other side, so they went on the road. They went to Arkansas. They went to Louisiana Lafayette. They went to Southern Miss. They went to Arizona. That happened because the one seed simply won. Ole Miss was very lucky early in Mike's career when it came to some upsets in the bracket and getting those home venues, and they simply just haven't had that same luck during this run because, you know, it's like the Keith thing in the contract. Did Keith make a mistake, not make a mistake? The argument why he did is that nobody was coming after Mike, so there was no reason to give him a six-year deal instead of a four-year deal. It just, I mean, pay him all you want to salary-wise, but a six-year contract wasn't necessary. On the other side, they were off a stretch that was pretty impressive. You had the number one signing class in 2017, and they weren't good, but you knew they were coming. You knew Cooper and Dick Thomas and those guys were going to be good. Great. 18 national seed, 19 host, 20 number one team in the country when the season ends, 21, 18, and 12 in the SEC host, and then 22 national title. That was the run they were on when we were in the car coming back from Omaha that day over a five-year period.
We used to go to places together. We used to see things together. But, like, a lot of what this culture is has changed as well. And I think the reason why you're starting to see, like, I think Ole Miss fans have even less patience than they already did. They're already impatient about a lot of this in regards to Mike Bianco and Ole Miss baseball for good reason, because it's quite literally one of the elite programs in the country. However, having said that, the culture in college athletics has completely changed. I mean, schools can now pay kids themselves. Like, and the cost of doing business – in the sports
not
you
can, really care have about. To.
Yeah, have to. The cost of doing business for the stuff you really care about, football. I wouldn't have fired him either. Not in this culture. I'll just tell the story. Keith Carter sat down for the Ivy League. It was me, Jared, and Keith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we started meeting, you know how I am. And I was just messing with Keith, you know, and Keith goes, well, we know where Ben stands, insinuating that, like, oh, I want to fire Mike. I said, no, I don't think you should fire Mike. I think you should scrap that project. I don't think you should be putting any money into it right now because it is a non-revenue generating sport. But at Ole Miss, it matters. And the funny thing for me, and this is what I keep coming back to, is like, Mike, all you had to do after the title was just – and talking about ammunition, this is what I've been saying. You know this. Like, just make the playoffs.
Just don't suck.
Just don't suck. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is not.
You could have gone 15-15 for perpetuity.
Yep. And coasted. Mm-hmm. You and I would not even do this together. We wouldn't even do podcasts. We would just be like, hey, how you doing? Good. I hadn't heard from you in a while. Because it would be so mundane and boring.
Well, because speaking of proof of concept, you just went through the road to win in Omaha. So what you would do is go, hey, if you just get in, we got a shot. Just showed you that.
Just get in. Oh, we just got to get in. Hey, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to get in. But no.
No, look. It's
no,
it's,
he won six SEC games.
And now, look, it is a revenue-generating sport. Not to the point of football. I'm not making that comparison. But it's where it complicates this, too, because maybe I'm wrong. I fully believe I'm right. Fans are going to buy the tickets at least one more year. So not firing Mike is not costing you a substantial bottom line issue as far as in-state. Now, look, the attendance might be bad, the actual attendance, the concessions, I don't know. But in the spring in Oxford, people want to go to baseball. They want to keep their seats, and it's the game in town. They're going to buy their seats again. And again, it's not that you shouldn't care about the fans and make them do that without a good product. That's not my point. But it's not like football where it's Northwestern State that day and you kick the extra point and there's nobody even in the end zone to throw the ball back onto the field and you go, they're not going to buy tickets. We are screwed.
Man,
that's not the situation.
I really miss being in those press boxes with you, man. Like that kind of game specifically, that was when it was fun. It's like we our 15 inning game on Sunday, you know, when it's like 17-12, right? Or something crazy.
We had one of those against Murray State a few weeks ago, and I was thinking about you. It was a Wednesday night on a game that started at 5 p.m., and I still didn't walk out of the press box till like 11:20. I was like, oh, mm-mm. Oh my God.
But my man in 2024, been doing this longer than he hadn't been doing it, been friends with me longer than he hadn't been friends with me, still in the press box going to the 15 inninger. Good for
I like
you.
It.
Yeah, because you're a true dirt bag.
I do. I like
true
it.
Dirt bag. I'll give it to you. You know, we used to make fun, be like, well, Chase is just the baseball guy. It's fine. Let him be the baseball. He loves his Ole Miss baseball. You know, he's really good at it. You know, me, I will, like, you put me in my play. Like, you really helped me contextualize one thing in particular. That 2022 team wasn't bad.
They weren't bad.
Especially when you go through the roster and you compare the roster.
And they were built. Years. They were built the right way. It was high school signees that you just supplemented a little bit.
So there's the issue. We've identified. Well, Chase identified it. I just listened.
Garrett Wood gave you some nice at-bats as a junior college player late in the year. But you weren't counting on him.
And then he became one of your captains. That's when you should have gone, wait a second. No disrespect to Garrett Wood, but like, huh?
He's an assistant coach at Alabama now.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
So George Hilo is going to be the next head coach of Ole Miss football.
Oh.
No. Pete Golding. Okay. And then, yeah, that's how it used to be. We'd always identify in the old days, because he's from Amy, I'm from New Albany. We'd always go like, well, oh, Brian Brown's now, I think he moved up to D coordinator now over here. Yeah. He might have us a D coordinator in 2 years. You know, it's just a lot different than it used to be. He's Chase Parham of rebelgrove.com. Not at Rivals Chase. It's just at Chase Parham.
Parham. That's it.
I'm just still at Spirit Ben. I don't really care if you follow me on Twitter or not. Twitter is stupid, but check out our websites, the Ole Miss Spirit and Rebel Grove, rebelgrove.com and omspirit.com. Thank you, friend. See you later.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.